Manamana. Manamana.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy. Hello, hello. It is Thursday, March 16th, 2023, and it is 1903 UTC. 3:16:23. Oh. Feeling a lot better, but I still have a small cough, and my throat hurts, so I've got to keep drinking water. I have to basically constantly be drinking, and so my friends are joking, teasing me about my wet throat, which I think is funny. Anyway, shout out to AE and Stug and Zerohoffs, Ratsu. And all the commanders, damn good cyber chatters, whatever you want to call it. Thanks for being here and hanging out. I'm feeling a lot better. Stug, thanks a bunch. So, I loaded my bookmarks, but all of the, none of the pages are loading. Let's go ahead and close the browser. Let's quit Firefox and start it back up again. Do 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 do. We gotta keep talking. Better keep talking today. Open all the bookmarks. Hey, now we got text. All right. So it is time to talk about death and destruction. So first we start with a nice big death toll. Over 300 people are dead in Malawi and Mozambique as Cyclone Freddy continues to ravage the country. The death toll after Cyclone Freddy is still rising, even as hundreds remain missing, and locals are angered about the lack of rescue services and relief items. There's a YouTube video showing that even if you dig a grave, it fills with floodwaters before they can even get the body in the ground. The death toll from Tropical Cyclone Freddy has passed 300 as the body count continues to rise. The storm tore through southern Africa over the weekend for a second time after first making landfall in late February. It's one of the longest-lasting tropical cyclones ever recorded and one of the deadliest in Africa in recent years. That's right, it's been going on for months. Freddy is still causing trouble. Welcome, Flipper88 and Ratsu. Thanks for jumping on in here. At least 53 people have died in Mozambique's Zambezia province, authorities said late on Wednesday, more than double the previous count. Malawi has at least 225 dead so far. Continued rain and power outages have hampered search and rescue efforts this week, as the storm continues to cause severe flooding, sweeping away roads and farms with bodies and houses buried in mud. Al Jazeera's correspondent Fahmida Miller, reporting from Mulanje on the outskirts of Blantyre, Malawi's commercial hub, that there was still anger about the lack of resources and rescue services, even as hundreds remain missing. Locals have been organizing themselves into groups, retrieving bodies, while waiting for help from authorities. There's no rescue team, no police, any government official. David Fury, a survivor, still searching for four missing family members, told Al Jazeera. Only ordinary people, people that lost people. We don't even know what we're going to eat for lunch today or supper, Yusuf Ntheda, member of parliament for Mulanje West, said. We have not yet received any relief items as we speak. So, thinking about these guys out there, it's just tragedy after tragedy, and it's always surprising which areas of the world, or it's not really surprising, I guess, it's kind of sad, what areas of the world we get tired of their tragedies faster than others. Speaking of the public being tired of tragedies, hey, Publius is here. Welcome. U.S. police violence. Well, let's talk about it real quick, because this is news, because it's out of the ordinary. Seven deputy sheriffs in Virginia have been charged with second-degree murder over the death of a man in custody. Irvo Otieno, a 28-year-old black man, died on March 6th while he was being transferred from a jail to a mental health facility. Prosecutors have accused the deputy sheriffs of suffocating him during the transfer. Medical examiners haven't released the cause of death. His hands and legs were both cuffed, and he was held on the ground for 12 minutes by all seven Henrico County deputy sheriffs, said Dinwiddie County Commonwealth's lawyer Ann Cabell Baskerville in court on Wednesday. Prosecutors said they were told Mr. Otieno was being combative before he was restrained. He was arrested on March 3rd as a suspect in a possible burglary. Officers placed him under emergency custody order, used when a person is believed they could harm themselves or others as a result of mental illness. So, yeah, it's pretty tragic that he lost his life so quickly and while in police custody like that. Whether or not their family or anyone sees justice, that's a question for another day. Speaking of questions for another day, French Senate adopts contested pension reform. There have been lots of protests and lots of strikes and a social upheaval around France's proposed pension reforms. A proposed reform of France's pension system, which sparked massive protests and strikes since the start of the year, is poised for a final vote on Thursday in a decisive moment for President Macron. The Senate adopted the legislation to raise the retirement age to 64 on Thursday morning, but a ballot in the lower house, National Assembly, scheduled for the afternoon, is seen as extremely tight. Macron's minority government is dependent on the opposition Republicans, party MPs, for support, and the ultimate winning or losing margin could come down to a handful of votes. After months of negotiations, everyone wants a moment of truth, senior figure in the Renaissance Party told AFP on condition of anonymity. A vote would be very, very, very risky in the lower house, top-ranking Republican Senator Bruno Retailleau told the Public Senate channel on Thursday. Trains, schools, public services, and ports have been affected by strikes. Oh, I skipped an important step. If he feels the risk is too great, he could order the Prime Minister, Elizabeth Borne, to ram the legislation through the Assembly without a vote, using a controversial power contained in Article 49.3 of the Constitution. Forcing through the legislation in this way, after months of demonstrations and in the face of overwhelming hostile public opinion, would inflame the protest movement. A dissolution of the hung parliament is another option for the 45-year-old leader. Garbage is stacking up, and just in general, it's pretty terrible. Elizabeth Warren. Did I say Elizabeth Warren? That might have been a slip on my part. Elizabeth Bourne. B-O-R-N-E. Thanks for keeping me on my toes, Publius. Because since we're talking about Publius is here, let's talk about some power. We got some power news that I thought was kind of interesting. So, in Niger, towering mounds dot the desert landscape in northern Niger's Arlit region, but there is little natural about them. They are heaps of partially radioactive waste left from four decades of operations at one of the world's biggest uranium mines. An ambitious 10-year scheme costing $160 million is underway to secure the waste and avoid risks to health and the environment, but many local people are worried or skeptical. From 1978, France's nuclear giant Areva, now called Orano, worked the area under a subsidiary, the Akuta Mining Company. It closed the site in 2021 after extracting 75,000 tons of uranium, much of which went to fueling the scores of nuclear reactors that provide the backbone of France's electricity supply. Cominac's director general, Mohamed Sani Abdoulaye, showcased the rehabilitation project to the first French journalist to visit the site since 2010, when seven Areva employees were kidnapped by jihadists. The company intends to hand back a site that is safe, healthy, and non-polluting, in line with national standards and in international recommendations. The toughest task is to deal with the estimated 20 million tons of tailings that have been in contact with uranium. The waste is spread over 120 hectares, or nearly 300 acres, and mounds as high as 35 meters, which is 114 feet. But its radioactivity levels are very low, said Helen Sorella Djibo, in charge of the operation. We have natural doses below what can be found in regions of France and the world, she said. Rano's plan is to level out the waste and seal it under a 2-meter-deep cap of waterproof clay and sandstone, backed by a program to monitor air and water for at least 5 years. But in the town of Arlet, which the surrounding area has a population of 200,000, there's concern. Basiru Babali, the departmental director of mines at Arlet, pointed to worry about whether cracks could develop in the cover on top of the waste. Concern is that leaks could enable radon, a radioactive gas that comes from uranium breaking down, to escape and flood the town. Tests of the cover are underway. So anyway, Niger's regulations stipulate a safety threshold for miners of 20 millisieverts of radiation a year. Orano reported that maximum exposure at the site of the mine in 2022 was 8.6 millisieverts. Going to Com here, Publius notes that the tailings from all kinds of mines are generally toxic. In Italy, there's been a lot of trouble from iron mine tailings. And mine tailings, I think, are the... what's it called? When you have a drill, you're drilling down, and then the drill bit goes and it hits the material, and then you keep on drilling through. I think that's what we're talking about. Let's hit Google up real quick. Mine tailings. Or we're not using Google, we're using Start Page. But in mining, tailings are the materials left over after the process of separating the valuable fraction from the uneconomic fraction of an ore. And Publius gives us a description too. Mostly refers to rock which has been crushed and the valuable substance removed from it. So there we go. So that's what we're talking about. Alright, so that's what's going on in Niger. They're kind of worried about this, but it seems like they have a lot of uranium and they're happy to keep mining it. So we'll keep on working through that. Hey, a thug coming in hot with who's ready for the next financial collapse. That is true. That's all over the news, though, so I don't have it in my list yet. Let's talk about something cool in nuclear news also. The UK's Chancellor, Jeremy Hunt, has announced that nuclear will, subject to consultation, be classified as environmentally sustainable in our green taxonomy. He also launched a competition to be completed by the end of the year, which could lead to co-funding for small modular reactors. In his set piece address to the House of Commons outlining the government's tax and spending plans, Hunt said increasing nuclear capacity is vital to meet our net zero obligations. So to encourage the private sector investment into our nuclear program, I today confirm that subject to consultation, nuclear power will be classed as environmentally sustainable in our green taxonomy, giving it access to the same investment incentives as renewable energy. So I think that's pretty exciting there. I got to figure out what to do with my 401k and my stock stuff. I don't know. I might just ride it out. I'm not planning on any big expenses in the next 3 to 5 years, so maybe. Anyway, hey, Embolding, welcome. And shout out to F. Fogg and Quentin in Com. Thanks for being here. I want to mention it is 1916 UTC, which reminds us all that, hey, it's almost 1930 UTC. And every goddamn day at 1930 UTC, well, almost, we have the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope, a fun show that airs, like I said, at 1930 UTC. Chairman at Arms, Pippa, and Tobe bring us all sorts of adventures from the heart of the United States. Let's see. Publius throws up here. People are afraid of radon, but if it's released into outdoor air, it dissipates quickly. Also, its half-life is only 3 days. Hey, good point, Publius. Thanks for pulling that out. It's kind of exciting. The UK is going to class nuclear as a green or a renewable energy, giving it access to that kind of stuff. Let's see, what else? NASA, this is other science news, it's not necessarily nuclear now. NASA reveals new spacesuit for Artemis moon landing. Outfits for planned lunar expedition are more streamlined and flexible, and a better fit for women. The big puffy white moon suits worn by Neil Armstrong and his fellow astronauts a half century ago are out of fashion. Lunar haute couture now calls for something more form-fitting and comfortable. NASA on Wednesday unveiled the first prototype for a newly designed next-generation spacesuit, specially tailored and accessorized for the first astronauts expected to venture back to the moon's surface in the next few years. Let me see if we can get this in here. Boop, boop. Alrighty, I think this should work. Spacesuit. I typed suite instead of suit, but if you go to sdf.org/l/n5, It's sdf.org/lima/november5, all lowercase. You will end up seeing a nice image of someone in a space suit, the new NASA suit. So I thought that was pretty cool, because space travel is cool, at least if you ask me, anyway. Oh, man. All right, so we got NASA. What else is going on? Well, check this out. This blew my mind, because it's kind of funny. It's like, oh, we're affecting, humans are impacting geology now. And that is coming to us from Brazil. Brazilian researchers find terrifying plastic rocks. The geology of Brazil's volcanic Trinidad Island has fascinated scientists for years, but the discovery of rocks made from plastic debris in this remote turtle refuge is sparking alarm. Melted plastic has become intertwined with rocks on the island. It's about 708 or 1,140 kilometers from the southeastern state of Espírito Santo, which researchers say is evidence of human beings' growing influence over the Earth's geological cycles. This is new and terrifying at the same time, because pollution has reached geology, said Fernanda Avalar Santos, a geologist at the Federal University of Paraná. Santos and her team ran chemical tests to find out what kind of plastics are in the rocks, called plastiglomerates, because they are made of a mixture of sedimentary granules and other debris held together by plastic. See ya, Quentin. Sorry you're missing a meeting. Hey, Prater. Welcome. Howdy. Tobe! I hope we get to see Tobe in a couple minutes. We'll find out. My team meeting is after the Dubious Goals Committee, so I'm going to play it in my headphones. it's very interesting. Trinidad's one of the most important conservation spots for green turtles, a Chelonia mitis, with thousands arriving each year to lay their eggs. Let me see if I can open this image in a new tab. Beautiful. All right. This image, I think, is a great example of what these plastic rocks look like. It's like a sedimentary rock, but it's kind of fused with plastic. It's at sdf.org/l/n6. That's Lima/November6. sdf.org/l/n6. And if you go there, you will see the bizarre rock that is forming, and that's what's going to be. People are going to see interesting stuff coming out of that. All right, let me see, because I think I have a nuclear story that we didn't do recently that I thought was kind of cool. Maybe we can do that. Here it is. This was yesterday. I didn't get a chance to go into it. A coated particle fuel for nuclear thermal propulsion applications has been fabricated by TRISO X LLC and has undergone testing in extreme conditions. The test took place in the Compact Fuel Element Environmental Test Facility at NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center, where the fabricated fuel was cycled rapidly and repeatedly to more than 2,000 degrees C, with the temperature fluctuating hundreds of degrees per minute and held at those temperatures to replicate conditions anticipated during space missions while maintaining its integrity. The test was the first time TRISO X's knowledge any coated particle fuel was tested to these conditions. TRISO is tri-structural isotropic fuel particles. They have a kernel of enriched uranium oxycarbide encased in carbon and ceramic layers. According to TRISO X, the U.S. Department of Energy has described this type of fuel as the most robust nuclear fuel on Earth. X Energy Reactor Company subsidiary TRISO X is developing key fuel fabrication processes as part of the team led by General Atomics Electromagnetic Systems for the first phase of the DARPA demonstration rocket for Agile Cislunar Operations, or DRACO. Anyway, this is going to be very neat, because this is kind of this fuel. Because of the way it's composed, it can withstand incredible temperatures and still keep on a rockin'. So very cool, really important for the future of space travel. So anyway, I wanted to bring that up. All right. Well, since we mentioned banking stuff, I'll just let you know, don't feel like the world is totally falling apart just yet. Swiss bank Credit Suisse said Thursday it will move to shore up its finances by borrowing $54 billion, that's all, just $54 billion, from the central bank after its shares plunged, dragging down other major European lenders in the wake of bank failures in the United States. Credit Suisse said would exercise an option to borrow up to 50 billion francs from the central bank. This additional liquidity would support their core business and clients as Credit Suisse takes the necessary steps to create a simpler and more focused bank built around client needs. Fanning new fears about the health of financial institutions following the recent collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank in the U.S., at one point, Credit Suisse shares lost more than a quarter of their value. So the turmoil prompted an automatic pause in the trading of Credit Suisse shares, on the Swiss market and sent shares of other European banks tumbling, some by double digits. Hey, Azure Hayes, welcome, welcome. Howdy, howdy. When asked if he would rule out government assistance in the future, chairman of the bank said, "That's not a topic. We are regulated. We have strong capital ratios, very strong balance sheet. We are all hands on deck. So that's not a topic whatsoever." So sounds like he was maybe a little offended at that suggestion. Of course, we'll see. The banks likes to play fast and loose with money, especially since federal governments seem to be happy to bail them out anyway. Let's see. That's why he a lot. We have lots of money. We've got to be doing well. let's see. What else is going on? Well, here, since we're getting towards the end, I wanted to share a good story and a sad story. Hong Kong, people are mad because this cute dog, named Fifi, a miniature long-haired dachshund, has become an internet sensation after she was seen taking a business class flight. That's right. The miniature long-haired dachshund from Hong Kong has become an online sensation after a video of the dog traveling in business class on a flight went viral. In the video, Fifi is seen snuggled under blankets on the flight from Hong Kong to Istanbul. The dog's owner, Helen Rosalie, says Fifi was calm and collected through the 11-hour journey. Miss Rosalie is a Briton, adopted Fifi when the dog was 1 year old. Fifi may have been comfortable and well-rested during its luxurious flight, but some netizens were not. They took to issue with Miss Rosalie's travel arrangements and her posts about how she treated Fifi as if it was her daughter. It seems a bit sad you'd refer tens of thousands of dollars on a dog and call it your daughter, when there are thousands of children in care homes that could become a real daughter. Another person wrote, "Hard for me to see, because the money spent on Fifi's travel could have fed starving children and saved lives." However, not everyone is complaining. The business is booming for those who cater to pet travel services. In 2021, the global market was $782.4 million, and it's now forecast to reach $1.3 billion by 2031. So yeah, that's kind of wild, or that's a thing. Anyone, if you want to see this dog sleeping in an airplane, you can go to sdf.org/l/n7. All right. Well, we've only got about 4 minutes to go, so I'll tell you a sad news story, and then we'll play a song to get on out of here. I do want to remind you, we've got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe coming up. Then at 20 hours is Flux, and then we've got Language Soup, Pumpkin Pie, and Love's Time International at 00 UTC. And then at 0800, if you are a plus UTC person, you might be up for this, or your UTC person, I guess, DJ Atropine and DJ Polybius are up there. So FFOG will be streaming tonight too, so check it out. Oh yeah, the Mayo site. Yeah, so check all of that out. Go to anonradio.net. Lots of fun stuff going on. And yeah. So anyway, the sad story is, let's see, this is probably in the U.S. A good day for Mary Saladino is if her 3-year-old son Henry doesn't experience a life-threatening seizure from his ultra-rare neurological disorder, which have been called human time bombs. She says that a great day for the family is simple as the youngster staying seizure-free on a weekend with good weather so he can enjoy sunshine. Let's see. In 2022, Mary and her husband, who split their time between Vermont and Boston, launched For Henry, a nonprofit that aims to raise the $3 million necessary to fund an individual genetic treatment for their son. Hey, see you later, Imbolding. So yeah, and if they're successful, it could be the first treatment for the condition and give other families hope in fighting the brutal condition. So anyway, it's just sad because these guys, this family, has a kid who will die because, not because there's not treatment, but because there's no, it's because of money. Not because of anything, any real roadblocks, just because of money. Anyway, I'm going to play, let me find my Russian songs. I want to end you with a Russian song. Actually, I'll go to Firefox because I've got this song on YouTube. I think it's easier for me to find there. Oh man, it's so good. I'm excited to play it. It's longer than 2 minutes though. Oh man. Hold on. Let's go to history. How do I get to, oh no. You know what I do. Boom. History. There we go. I got it. It's in my head. I'm like, hold on. Search. Oh no. It's not there. Where are my save playlists? Your videos library? Is that where it is? Nope. History, watch later playlist. Here it is.
Давно потускневший город под рёв ледяных моторов. Пытается выжить в соке, но плесень там не Рокфоров. От удушья круги под глазами наружу равнодушия. Я полон, немного простужен. Закрой небо рукой. Мы не помним, как нас зовут, дорогой мой друг.